Jason Wilde is brought to you by Boucher Automotive, where we ride with you every mile. 18 dealerships, 15 brands, and thousands of vehicles in stock. Check them out at Boucher.com.
Everybody on the planet Earth should get information about the Green Bay Packers from Jason Wilde every day of the year. That means you got to go to WisconsinOnDemand.com, and then you can listen to them on Wilde and Touch for 3 hours. This is my favorite segment because I get to listen and I allow the doctor himself, the doctor of football, because he watches tape so much, Brian Bulaga, to make the introduction because he's so nice.
Jason, how you doing?
I'm outstanding. It's been great listening to you guys. You do work for cheap, from what I understand. But yep. I think it's worth noting that, and we've seen a little bit of this in the Packers personnel department, but I think we're starting to see it a little bit more league-wide. But the challenge is that there are guys like you who play a long time and want to selfishly spend more time with their wife, spend more time with their kids. I think we're starting to see a few more former players get into the scouting game, and I think you'd be fantastic. I agree with Homer. I mean, there are other things I don't agree with him on.
Thank you.
I agree that you would be a fabulous scout for a team. The problem is you want to coach Declan's football team, and all the stuff that goes along with being a dad and a husband after you've played a decade in the NFL, most of you guys made a bunch of money, and you want to be able to enjoy your life. And scouts work their asses off.
Oh, yeah.
It's not so much that teams don't want guys that say no offensive line play to the degree you do. It's that they can't hire guys like you. I don't know what the number would have to be to get you to say, all right, I'm going to give up this cushy life down in Florida and spend it grinding over scouting different guys down at Florida A&M and Florida International and Florida State.
No, Jason, that's not my suggestion because he's certainly not going to do that. They make so much money. But like for a month, I send 20 tapes of offensive linemen or whatever.
And that, right, but Brian already answered this. He's exactly right. They have a bunch of guys they do pay to do this. So they don't want some Yahoo who appears on the Homer Hour and Wilde and Touch then. And no offense, Brian. But like, yep, they've got their guys that are doing the evaluations. They got guys. The area scouts, you have to understand, you know, I know you're fond of, giving people a bunch of credit for getting things right, but the bottom line is these guys do a hell of a lot of work on these
prospects. Yeah, it's really like, hard.
Right, and the guys, for instance, if you're an area scout, and here's an example. So Brian Gutekunst was the area scout for the Southeast. So he had the SEC, he had chunks of the ACC. Like, he's one of the guys that he brought to Mike McCarthy before he took over when Ted Thompson was still the GM in 17, was a safety from NC State named Josh Jones. Josh Jones was terrible. And Goody saw him. You remember that. I'm not looking for you to besmirch him, Brian. You played with him. But, like,
yep,
the college tape, they were like, oh, my God, this guy can play safety. He's actually – you can have him on the field as a linebacker in the nickel. He can cover guys in the slot. In a pinch, you can put him outside. He's like the Swiss Army shoe that you can use for all these different things. And then he got there. First of all, he had too much swagger to go to your quarterback conversation. And second of all, he wasn't a good player at the NFL level. And so even if Brian, who knows offensive line play and studies it and grinds the tape – after every game, even then, you could see a guy that you think, this guy reminds me of me. He's got these short arms, but he's really smart, really tactical. And you might think he's really good. And then he gets to the wrong situation, the wrong system, or he just thinks he's arrived in the NFL, and then he sucks. And then we think you don't know what you're talking about, when in actuality, you very well might. Like, you were citing the guy that, oh, you got Jordan Love right. Well, I'll tell you what, if he was sitting at the practices in 2020 and 2021, even he would have said, I didn't get this right. This guy stinks. And I wonder if Zach Wilson, all the people that thought Zach Wilson, who got traded today to Denver for like a ham sandwich, if he had sat for 3 years like Jordan Love, than if we'd be looking at him going, God, look at this guy. This guy's fantastic. He's the guy who came in the league. He's the one who proves the rule that you can have swagger, but without talent, you're nothing. I mean, there is so much more that goes into success in the NFL than just whether you have the God-given talent. There's your own work ethic, your own focus, but also a bunch of extraneous factors that decide whether or not you succeed. And if Jordan Love had been drafted by a team that played him right away, I don't think we'd be celebrating Jordan the way
I disagreed with that on Favre. They may not have been as good. I don't believe that. I think if you'd have to have players where you thought were really good.
Favre's different. I would say Rodgers. I would have been worried about Rodgers suffering significant injuries behind a bad
offensive line. Okay, but I'm talking about if he's healthy enough to play.
Yeah, look, I'm telling you, if he and I think Goody and LaFleur with Coors Lights on the table would tell you the same thing. They would have ruined Jordan Love had they played him in 2020. They just would have.
Potentially, yeah. Yeah, well,
but does he have the swagger? I mean, originally that was the question with him. But to me, I don't know that it's swagger. I just think it's internal self-confidence.
No, he does. He certainly has self-confidence. He certainly has a swagger that
does he.
And you made the distinction, which I thought was a really important one. He has it with his teammates, but he doesn't carry himself with it publicly with us. And I don't give a damn if you have swagger with us. Like, you can, but usually the guys that have the most swagger with us as reporters are the ones that are faking it and don't have genuine confidence or swagger. And the guy that I texted to you guys for your discussion, because once again, giving up Taylor Swift to listen to you, which, by the way, 31 songs was way too much. I know Sydney.
It's a lot.
That was a lot to get through. And not all of them are great. I'm just going to be honest. But the guy that I think of when you talk about didn't have that swagger but clearly had talent and won a Heisman and had a team in the national championship playoff is Marcus Mariota. I mean, I watched almost every game he played at Oregon. And then he got to the NFL, and he's a nice guy. He's a great teammate in a quiet leadership style. But I don't think anybody in Tennessee, which opened the door, by the way, for Tannehill, right, to come in there, or in Atlanta. Like, I don't think anybody looked at Mariota and said, God, this guy's got a lot of swagger. And so I think he's a really good example of a guy that really did have authentic talent and then wasn't able to deliver it at the NFL level.
By the way, I did want to give an update on Taylor Swift. I did listen to some of her songs, and our song, I would say I like. But that's really old,
though.
That's really old. Yeah. Well, I didn't get that far along.
Wow. Way to be timely.
What do you mean? I mean, if it's good, I like Billy Joel Piano Man. How long ago was that?
Well, right, but you just share that like it's some sort of major discovery.
It is. We've because I told you the last time we talked, and you said, well, you've never liked any of her songs. I go, well, I'm listening to that many. No. So I said, I better listen to a few and see if there's anyone there that I like.
You had a whole week? How many songs did you get through exactly?
Probably
over
probably
on your way to
five.
Miles Automotive.
About five. I saw a list that said, "Hold on." Well, after I found one, I thought, you know, a lot of them sound the same. All right, and they're kind of the same. I get how she's really people like it.
So does Billy Joel.
No, there are no songs that sound like Piano Man. Nice try, but anyway. So I thought, hey, I picked one, and it listed, like, the best 21 songs of Taylor Swift up until, like, the year 2020. So, all right. Sorry it wasn't up to your standards. All right.
Four years ago.
I understand.
She had, like, four albums since then.
So she didn't do anything any good? She sucked before the last four albums? Are they her best stuff then?
No. I didn't say that. But you literally, her catalog is, like, hundreds of songs.
Correct.
You listen to five. Like, if you give me an assignment and I said, well, I looked at five players, would I say, oh, way to go, you really gave that
if you liked one of them,
prize?
If you'd never liked a player before and you said, hey, I did five, I like this player.
I like Cooper.
Hey.
I like Cooper DeGene. I'm done. I'm good. See you later.
There you go.
Hey,
Who do you like, by the way? You don't even... Do you like anybody, or...
I'm sorry. This is the segment where you're quiet and Brian.
Oh, okay. Good. Nicely done.
Well, Jason, I got a question. What? Obviously, there was a big press conference today. What did you take away from it with Goody?
Yeah, I don't know if I can say that this is the best 60 minutes of my day, because I'd say 37 minutes of Goody was pretty darn good, and then I'll use my sliver of time with you guys to finish out the hour. But, look, I thought there were some really interesting things, and whether or not he's blowing some smoke or subterfuge, which was a word he used a lot, or not, I don't know. But this idea that he wants as many swings at the plate as he can, even though he's got, you know, one good draft class and one really good draft class back-to-back the last 2 years. And he still wants to – he's not afraid to add a rookie class of 11, 12, 13 draft picks plus undrafted free agents. I don't know. Like, he doesn't believe in the narrative of, you know, you can't have that big of a class, and he wants competition. He was very adamant about that. And I think that's really interesting because – you know, he also keeps going back to how last year's draft class, maybe it was about how much opportunity they had. That's why we have such a high opinion of them, because traditionally, a lot during your playing career in Green Bay, Brian, guys didn't play right away. A lot of them didn't. And I even brought up to Goody in the press conference that Ted used to say that it was after every draft. It was so, even the one where I said something about how this draft had a lot of substance and not a lot of sizzle, and he said, I have sizzle, Jason. he always would say afterward, the guys that are already on our team are going to decide what this team is. These guys that we drafted during these couple of days, they're going to come in, and some of them are going to get opportunities, but it's really the guys that are already here that are going to decide how good we are this year. And he would always say a variation of that. And last year, that wasn't the case, right? Like Kenny Clark, Preston Smith, I mean, even David Bakhtiari only played one game. I mean, the guys that really decided how good they were the first-year starting quarterback and a bunch of guys that were first- or second-year players on their roster. And so whether or not they have room to add more of those, you know, Goody said we can always add more good football players, and that's true. But what I'm really eager to see is he willing to use some of his draft capital after making more picks than any other team in the league the last 2 years. 24 picks by the Packers the last two drafts. Is he really willing to draft that many guys again? Or is he going to use it to trade up?
It's going to be interesting. I mean, because I kind of look at it as, you know, if you do take how many picks they got, Jason, 11 or 12 in
11,
this draft?
11, right? And he said he'd like to have like 13 or 14.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, obviously, I don't know the roster all the way down to the how many guys they have on the roster right now, but I know 53 play, right? Like, I know 53 guys play. How many more guys can you add right now that will get guys removed from the current roster that we have?
Right.
I guess
and,
is my
that's
is my question.
No, it's a great question. I can tell you that Goody himself admitted, he said, right now we got 72 guys on the roster, which is higher than we normally want at this point in the offseason. So that tells you right there. Like, usually at this time in the offseason, you don't have that many guys that you like enough to keep around. Now,
Correct. They
do have three kickers. They do have three kickers, which I don't think they're going to go to camp with three kickers. But to that point, like, so one of the things that I wanted to understand, and he gave a great – I can't recommend this enough because he and I went back and forth a little bit on this. I thought it was really interesting. And for all those that want to talk about how much they know about the draft, I thought this was really interesting. He talked about the Jaden Reed pick because I went back and I looked, and they started out in the second round with picks 42 and 45. They picked Luke Musgrave at 42. At 45, they get a call from the – Lions offering a fifth-round pick to move up from 48 to 45. So now he adds another pick, trades back. The Buccaneers then call while they're sitting at 48 and say, hey, we want to move up. They want to take a center from North Dakota State. So he trades back again, gets a sixth-round pick from the Bucs, and now they're picking at 50. And they still got Jaden Reed, who, oh, by the way, led them in receiving receptions, receiving yards, and tied for the team lead in touchdown catches. And yep. he easily could have come off the board during that time that they traded back. And while Goody didn't say the word luck, he basically said, look, we had this group of players that were all basically the same, and I made those trades back knowing that Reed could be gone. And they were ready, he revealed, to take Tucker Kraft. That's how highly they thought of Tucker Kraft. And that's
really?
When he was there in the third round, they grabbed Tucker Kraft because they couldn't believe he was still there. So my point is that, you know, going back to our discussion about guys and opportunities and all the different extraneous things that factor in to their success, the success of a draft is also predicated a little bit on being fortunate. Like, okay, you've got your board, you're picking at 45, and you got six guys that you think are all good enough to be used with that pick. And you get these phone calls and you keep moving back, and some of those guys that you like got picked in the meantime, and now you take Jaden Reed and he turns out to be a stud. That, yes, do the Packers scouts and Goody deserve credit for picking him? Sure. But by his own admission, he's admitting that, look, he didn't like him enough to say, we can't trade back because we're going to miss out on Jaden Reed. He didn't put his, you know, flag in the ground and say, we are picking Jaden Reed because he's that good. Instead, yep. when Ted used to say, that's just how it kind of worked out, in fact, sometimes that really is the case. That's just how it worked out.
Yep. Thanks, Jason. That was awesome, that segment.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Thanks, Jason.
Jason Woolley and Brian Bulaga, not necessarily in that order. Third quarter, next.